Yeah.
I don't know if I could do that anymore. Those kids.
Two at once is a lot. Yeah. You ready?
Yes.
Okay.
How you been, Doc? Thank God, I'm okay.
Should have had kids when I was 18.
Life's a green.
Okay. Okay, I'd like to call the Finance Committee meeting to order. Ms. Champoli is not going to be here today. She has a work conflict. She was called in this morning and asked me to chair the Finance Committee today. And with that, I think we will have a roll call. Mr. Chicano?
Here.
Mr. Michael?
Aye.
Mr. Chapman?
Aye.
Mr. Moore? Aye. Mr. Pollard?
Here.
And Mr. McRae is here as well. Is there any public comment? Okay. Seeing none, can I have an approval for last month's minutes if we've all had a chance to review those? Motion by Mr. Pollard.
Second, and I just have one change, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
I'm listed as both present and absent. I was present at that meeting.
Okay, there we go.
If you wouldn't mind, thank you.
Let the record show that Mr. Michael was present. So that's a second by Mr. Michael. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So the purchase approvals. Mr. Hume?
Chairman, thank you. I've had a cold, so bear with me. We have purchasing approvals for October 2018. We're going to start with animal care and control. We have 43,000 rabies tags and, different size tags and 14,000 rabies tags for the 2019 with Ketchum Manufacturing Company for $6,340. With the assessor, we have a Rico copier with Rico USA for $5,133. With the assessor's office, we also have publication of 2018 reassessment notices with the Alton Telegraph. It was originally approved for $20,840. It's now $23,840. With the board review, we have 8 Lenovo ThinkCenter desktop computers and 3 Lenovo monitors for $5,361. With the county clerk, we have ballot stock paper with Lewis paper for $8,314.80. With facilities management, we have 6 bottle filling stations and refrigerated filter drinking fountains with Butler Supply for $5,208. With facilities management, we have repairs to jail and administrative areas with Plocker Construction not to exceed $18,264.40. That's an emergency repair. And with facilities and planning and development, we have an asbestos project oversight and air testing at Wood River with Farmer Environmental Services for $18,360. With the highway department, we have 5 Lenovo ThinkCenter desktop computers and 6 Lenovo desktop, different type of computer, I guess, and that's for $11,205. With the IT department, we have 2 Lenovo M720T desktop computers, 2 Lenovo ThinkCenter M720Q desktop computers, and 4 ThinkCenter M720S desktop computers for $6,632. And moving on with the IT department, we have a Dell PowerEdge server maintenance contract renewal with Dell for $7,002.68. With the IT department, we have a Veeam standard support renewal inside public sector for $7,104.90. With the IT department, we have a Exagrid maintenance renewal with CDWG for $7,294.59. And with the IT department, we have 3 Dell PowerEdge servers for $31,500 on a state contract. And last but not least, with the Sheriff's Department, we have concrete project at the Nike base shooting range with Stutz excavating for $22,070. And that's all the purchasing approvals, Chairman.
Are there any questions? Mr. Moore.
Mr. Chairman, did you mention about the water fountains over in the courthouse yet? I'm not sure if I missed that or that's going to come up later.
We mentioned water fountains. Rob, you want to talk about
I'm just wondering if those are replacement of existing 6 water points or anything new there.
You want to turn your mic on and speak into it?
Mr. Moore, there are replacements for the ones that are there. Over the years, as these water fountains quit working, they removed them. So it's replacing the ones that have been removed and then upgrading the ones that do not meet ADA standards at the current time. And by putting the water filling stations on it, it saves plastic bottles from getting in the landfill and qualifies for the host tipping fee to pay for those drinking fountains.
All right, thank you.
Any additional questions? If not, I would entertain a motion to approve the purchasing approvals.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Michael.
Second.
Second by Mr. Moore. Mr. Tricano?
Aye.
Mr. Michael?
Aye.
Mr. Chapman?
Aye.
Mr. Moore?
Aye.
Mr. Pollard?
Yes.
Okay, Chairman, we have purchasing resolutions for October 2018. I have four of them. We have a resolution authorizing an agreement with American Environmental for updating Madison County's multi-jurisdictional all-hazards mitigation plan with American Environmental, and that's with the EMA. That's for $42,617. With the IT department, we have a resolution to purchase two Nexus switches with ACC for $36,547.08. And with the IT department on state contract, we have a resolution to purchase maintenance renewal with Microsoft software licensing with CDWG for $53,157.27. And last, we have with the IT department a resolution to award a laptop and computer purchase agreement with Lenovo. See attached list. And that is all the resolutions I have, Chairman.
Are there any questions with the purchasing resolutions? Mr. Chapman.
Yes. What is a multi-jurisdictional all-hazard mitigation plan? I'm not saying we don't need one. I just never heard of one.
You don't know, Phil? Just kidding. Okay.
Okay. So this is actually an update to a plan that was done five years ago. So what it is all of the jurisdictions in Madison County participate in it. And we identified, there's all grant funded, first of all. So the grant hires the consulting firm, that's what's going through now. The consulting firm puts together a plan, and all the jurisdictions come together and they pinpoint their main issues as far as, you know, flooding, what their risks are, and then the plan identifies those risks and comes up with a plan to mitigate the risks.
So if I understand correctly, you're finding out where we have flooding problems, and you're coming up with a plan to solve that problem.
Yes, but that plan is already in place, and then every 5 years it has to be updated for guidelines from the federal government. So this is an update to the plan that's already in place. So basically it's going back and saying, okay, in the past 5 years, what have we done with the original plan to improve upon the risks that were in?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Any additional questions? I would entertain a motion to approve the purchasing approvals. Did we do that?
Purchasing resolution.
I'm sorry. The purchasing resolutions, excuse me.
I move we accept the purchasing resolutions, Mr. Chairman.
Motion by Mr. Chapman. A second by Mr. Tricano. Mr. Tricano?
Yes.
Mr. Michael?
Aye.
Mr. Chapman?
Aye.
Mr. Moore?
Aye.
Mr. Pollard?
Yes.
Motion carries. We have a claims and transfers report.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I submit for your the board of this body's approval the summary of claims and transfers for September of 2018. I move for your approval.
Mr. Michael?
So moved. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you had a question. I'm sorry. Are there any questions? I would entertain a motion to approve the claims and transfers report.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Michael, a second by Mr. Pollard. Mr. Tricano?
Yes.
Mr. Michael?
Aye.
Mr. Chapman?
Aye.
Mr. Moore?
Aye.
Mr. Pollard?
Yes.
Okay.
Moving forward, Mr. Chairman, we have three immediate emergency appropriations. The first one, the county has, the Child Advocacy Center has received a grant from the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services purpose is providing continued funding for the administrative costs of the Child Advocacy Center. The amount is $132,572, and there's no additional match funds from the county. Can we just move forward, Tom, and bring that one?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Second one is, subsequent to the adoption of the budget, the county received a grant of about $368,654. This is titled the Redeploy Illinois Program with the purpose of providing psychoeducational assessments and intensive case management services to reduce or eliminate the practice of committing juvenile offenders to the Illinois Department of Juvenile Justice. And this grant, as I said, is for $368,654. It is, again, no match grants, so the county's not matching it. Third one. Subsequent to the adoption of the county budget, it's been determined there are necessary expenditures that will be incurred in the Regional Office of Education for payroll expenses. Payroll expenses were not provided for in the budget, and the amount of that is $16,200. I move your approval on all three immediate emergency appropriations.
Are there any questions?
Yes. Question regarding item C. Can Dr. Diver, you kind of touched on that. I assume he's here. Sorry, I haven't seen you yet.
Dr. Diver, would you...
You kind of explained that at the prior Finance Committee meeting, but could you? Would you mind doing it again, please?
Just you mean the request for the additional...
Right.
Yeah.
I guess, have you been over payroll slightly by like $1,500 a month, and then it's added up to $16,000? Is that kind of how it's been?
Right.
Or
we originally had requested...
Dr. Diver, can you speak in the mic? Because I know when we do the transcribing later, Kim can't hear it if we don't get it on the mic.
The request in September was for 19-1. We reviewed this, and we were able to trim this down to $16,200 of accumulated additional expenditures on salaries. This was discussed back when the budget was greatly reduced at the beginning of this fiscal year, and I had asked about a special appropriation. They said to come back later, and this may be able to be amended. And I had made that request back in July, and then I came in September. And it is just it's just a fact of increase in cost in our budget because of raises that were given to some people and just the general cost of what our payroll is.
And can you refresh my memory, just because I honestly don't remember, when we did reappropriations like we normally do in January, I believe that's when it is, did we reappropriate 50% of your budget like we did everybody else? None was reappropriated?
I don't know off the top of my head. I can ask John to find out. But
we had let me pull out my budget numbers here. We didn't receive 50% of what was reduced. I think it was a slight increase of about $18,000 was added back in. Or, excuse me, we got the $21,300 of carryover money is what we got.
Right, so that's what I was referring to.
Yes,
sorry.
And yeah, we got that, but we didn't get 50% of what was initially cut from the budget.
Right. But what was under budget from the previous year, you got, was that 51? Is that 21,000?
It was 21,000, I think, $300.
So then you're roughly 42,000 under budget from the previous year. So I guess the way you could look at it is you got 21 of the 42. Now we'd kind of be giving you 16 of the, so it would be 37 of the 42 that you were under previously.
Correct.
That's one way to work.
We're still under what we had carried over.
Right. That's what
I mean.
Mr. Chairman, if I could.
Mr. Moore.
I'm just looking at your execution report right now through August, which is three quarters of the year, and I see on salaries you're only expended 72% so far, so you're really 3% under plan through August. If that trend continues, it might even be a little more for the end of the year. So right now, overall, your budget, you have an extra $24,000 that you haven't spent according to plan. So to me, it looks like that money could be self-funded within your own budget right now, that $16,000.
Well, we had projected out, and we had consulted with the auditor's office on this, and that was how we found the $3,000. But according to all of our figures, to make it through the last pay that we have in this fiscal year, we would need the 16.2. Okay. And that's without making – we have no capital outlay expenditures. And this morning I got into the office with some bad news that our finance individual's computer evidently may be determined as done. And we weren't planning on making any capital outlay, but it's – we got one day left on the warranty, so we're trying to get it solved today. So it's covered under warranty. So
I'm sorry to hear that, but still the fact remains – right now, you're under budget through three quarters of the year. And to me, it looks like with $24,000 left on here, we wouldn't have to do an emergency appropriation for your $16,000 whenever I see you have $24,000 that haven't yet been spent that you had originally planned on spending.
Well, all that I can tell you is as our finances run the numbers on payroll, okay, we will expend, we will be short, and this is my concern, is that we will be short the $16,200 if it's not appropriated. When we come to when we get into the last three pays, we're going to be getting into this money according to our payroll calculations.
So I guess you're saying that you're going to be spending more during these last 3 months than you have month by month over the first three quarters of the fiscal year for salaries.
Well, from July forward, our salary expenditures that we had calculated, okay, we would need an additional $16,200, and we haven't hired anybody additional. These are just our payroll expenses.
Yeah, my last comment is that salaries are spent pretty much. It's pretty much a good projection. You can plan each month how much salary is going to be each month with minor changes. Right now, through three quarters of the year, you spend a certain amount, and I anticipate that trend to continue along that same line. And it looks to me like you're going to be under your salary budget, just by based on the facts. These are numbers. They don't lie. Yeah. They're numbers that you have spent so far this year. I see that, to me, I'm just saying, I don't think we need to give you an extra $16,000. And if we do later, maybe we could do that later on in the year.
I don't really care when you do it. I'm just trying to be fiscally responsible, and that I don't want to come in, I don't want to have a deficit on my payroll, and individuals asking me how I'm going to make payroll on November B payroll, okay? When I get a call from the payroll department that says you don't have money to make payroll and there's no money appropriated, what do we do about paying these people, okay?
So Bob, do you have reserves?
We have no reserves in the county budget, no.
In your budgets that could be?
Oh, we have reserves, but they're restricted funds, Doug, okay?
Mr. Chapman.
Yes, that was my question. I understand Mr. Moore's reasoning that if there's $24,000 that has not been spent thus far, that's under budget for the three quarters of the year, why wouldn't you just spend that on salaries? And I did have a question. Is that money that is lingering or has not been used, can that be spent on salaries? I mean, or is it a restricted fund?
Well, so some of the $24,000, we have some office purchase bills that we have to pay. Okay, I think we have one bill that's for professional services of about $4,000 that will come off of that. I'd have to go back through all those numbers to tell you what would be the other request, but. I will just be very candid. I wouldn't be taking the time of having been to the last two finance meetings if our finance department in our office wouldn't be concerned that we've expended and we're not projected to have $1 of carryover money that we're going to be requesting, you know, to carry over. I'm not asking this to carry over into the next fiscal year. Well, I'm just concerned about making payroll.
I hope
payroll.
My questioning doesn't indicate that I think you're not doing due diligence.
Yeah.
I think you are. But, you know, we have to do our due diligence,
sure,
to make sure that all the money's being spent appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that it's not.
Well, if I could interject for 1 second. You're saying that the end of the fiscal year, that you need $16,000 or whatever the amount was.
$16,200
to make ends meet.
Right.
Okay. Well,
We ran the numbers. I think Jennifer ran. You agree, Jennifer?
Jennifer, would you speak in the mic, please? I'm sorry.
I said Dana and I have worked on the numbers together to project out his payroll through the end of the year, and those are the numbers that are coming up in the budget variance report.
How do you, but Mr. Moore makes a good point.
He's looking at the other report that just does a calculation based on the number of months on the payroll that's been charged each month. So depending on the timing of if you have more part-time people during the summer or you have higher hours, that report cuts off as of 8/31, so it may not reflect. So just averaging it out per month is not necessarily the accurate way to do it.
Well, I think that Mr. Moore did ask implicitly, are there seasonal expenses? I mean, we all know that in some of the departments that it isn't all even across all the quarters.
I'll tell you, part of the expenses is, and I will speak to that. Some of it is seasonal, and it dealt with our audit with the Illinois Auditor General's office. And we have one payroll expense that's going to be about $3,000 greater because of the amount of hours worked in the months of August, September, and into October to get all the financials done for the Illinois Auditor General's office. So I think that's part of where the additional money on salary is going to come from two different employees in the office.
So, Jennifer, are you saying you concur that I mean, Mr. Moore makes a good point. You should be able to project pay. I would think
right.
You should be able to project
payroll.
That's
what we've done. To come to the $16,300, I've worked with Dana and Dr. Diver to determine what the per pay period for the rest of the year is going to be.
Okay.
And that's reflected in the monthly report.
There are, I do want to mention this, there are some expenditures that were calculated as well as office expenses.
Yes.
That are still needed as well.
That was factored in.
Okay. These are just general office supply expenses.
Well, just that I know we're working toward this, and I think it's going to be something that we're going to want to have an expectation. When we amend the budget with grants and so forth, it would be nice to see, you know, where that money is going to be spent, because we are amending the budget. So if it's going to salary or if it's going to office expenses, it's something that, you know, frankly, I think it would be a good amount of level of transparency so everyone knows where the money's going. Not to say this money's not needed, but I just wanted to interject that. It's good to know what the breakout is.
Question, Mr.
Chapman.
Is it the administration's viewpoint then, Mr. Hume, or as far as you're concerned, that this money is needed, yes or no?
You know, to be frank and not to get into anything else, I don't have access to the books, Phil, so it's kind of hard to see the payroll.
Mr. Chapman, I am willing to do this as an elected official. If the appropriation is made.
So I would trust Jennifer.
So you do trust Jennifer's opinion on this, that $16,300 is needed. Is that accurate?
If Jennifer says it.
Again, you've been sent the general ledger detail for all expenditures.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Don't say you don't have access to the information.
Well, I get it later after the fact. We're looking at making projections and going forward. I don't have access to the books, so that would be the weekly, daily work and all that. You do, and if you say they need the money, then I totally believe you.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
Let me make something perfectly clear, just to clear that up. And I appreciate you saying you trust the auditor's office, but he has access to this information that's needed to make a determination on Mr. Diver's budget. And it's my opinion that, yes, he needs the money. The 16-2 is needed. He's served honorably. He's been honest up front with us. And I'm not saying anybody's saying he hasn't. I'm just saying that we've looked at it. The 16-2 is needed, and I think you guys make the determination of what you're going to do.
Mr. Chapman,
so if I understand correctly, you are agreeing with Mr. Hume on this issue.
I think I heard him correctly, yes.
Well, let's make it clear it's one issue.
I'd like to make a comment on the request. As you've seen in the history of the fiscal management of our office, there's been rollover money every year, okay? So if you make this appropriation, there's rollover money, we won't request for $1 of it back. I mean, I'm not trying to bankroll the FY19 budget by asking for an additional appropriation and then coming back and asking for 50% of it. That's not my intent, if that's what's being implied here by someone. Okay, I'm concerned about making payroll because, as I told you in October, my choice is, according to our numbers, okay, if there's no special appropriation, I have two choices. One, or you have a choice. I mean, however you handle payroll, someone doesn't get paid because there's not money appropriated, and I don't think that I'm prudent as an elected official not trying to provide for that. Or, secondly, I go and I issue a layoff, 30-day notice that I'm going to lay some people off here. So.
If I might, I'm come to the conclusion I think this money is needed, and it would be nice that if it wasn't used, it would come back to the general fund. I agree with that, too.
I'm willing to do that.
Very good.
Are there any more questions or discussion? Okay, I'll entertain a motion to approve the immediate emergency appropriations.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Pollard, second, Mr. Tricano. Mr. Tricano.
Yes.
Mr. Michael.
Aye.
Mr. Chapman.
Aye.
Mr. Moore.
Nay.
Mr. Pollard.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Next, we have refunds.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have a number of refunds. First refund is from the Unrestricted Animal Control Fund in the amount of $30. This is payment to an individual on an overpayment. Second one is from the Animal Control Fund again for the amount of $55, an overpayment on registration. Third one is from the Unrestricted Health Department Revenue Fund in the amount of $25 to an individual. The refund check is due for an overpayment. And the last one is from the Special Service Area Fund in the amount of $246.98. And this is also due for overpayments. I move for your approval on all the refunds.
Are there any questions on the refunds?
Motion to approve the refunds as presented.
Motion, Mr. Michael.
Second.
Second, Mr. Moore. Mr. Chicano.
Aye.
Mr. Michael.
Aye.
Mr. Chapman.
Aye.
Mr. Moore.
Aye.
Mr. Pollard. We have the monthly budget reports.
Yeah, I think the gentleman had the monthly budget reports in front of you.
Are there any, are there any questions or comments on the monthly budget reports?
I don't think we have a copy of that, but
not in front.
No copies?
Well, we got, I got it emailed to me. I don't have it.
Yeah. Okay, we can table those for right now and move on to the if that's the pleasure of the committee, can we move on to the next agenda item while we're reviewing those, or?
Yes.
Okay.
And we suspend the rules and go to the next agenda item until we have a chance to look at this, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, we have a motion to suspend the rules by Mr. Chapman.
Second.
Second, Mr. Michael. All in favor? Opposed? Okay, so we have next on the agenda is the safety and risk management reports.
Nothing from safety and risk management.
Nothing to report? Okay. And at this time, do we have anything under old business?
Thank you.
I guess I could just say real quickly, I know Ms. Champoli isn't here right now, but we're going to work with her to schedule another budget meeting, and we'll get that information out. I know she's busy today with a surgery, so We'll get that arranged with her, and we'll get that out to the Finance Committee.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, we'll just try to find a mutually agreeable day. I would prefer it be in the evening after after 5 p.m., 5 p.m. or after. My personal preference, and I don't know if that's the preference of the committee, I'd rather have it in the evening myself. And we'll pick a day that's convenient for Ms. Champoli. Okay.
Sure.
Under new business, I'd like to recognize our county treasurer, Chris Tlusser. He'd like to present an update on our investment portfolio.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board.
I'll keep this brief. This won't be as long as the one we did back in January because I was kind of unrolling the whole strategy and how we were doing things. Patrick's going to pass out a one-sheeter here for you. But I said I would come back and give an update as we progress with the portfolio before the end of the fiscal year.
You going to project that?
All right, if you'll go ahead and go to the next one. Okay. All right, so basically since the start of 2017, the portfolio has increased from $148 million to $155 million. Our investment years to maturity, which means how long our average investment has until it matures, is 1.94 years. And then if you look there, we've drastically changed the makeup of the portfolio. So we've included a lot more municipal bonds. And kind of restructured some of our CDs and our agency bonds, federal agency bonds when they come due. If you go to the next one. Okay, so I'll try not to geek out and bore you guys too much on this, but I'll just kind of keep it simple. So when I started purchasing investments, basically in like April of 2017, we have averaged 3.15% on those investments. Our overall portfolio, that includes investments that were already in the portfolio prior to me starting the overhaul, when you combine that with what I've purchased, we're at 2.28% overall. And so that graph there, it's a little bit hard to see maybe on the sheets that I gave you. I was trying to save trees and not get overwhelm you with too much information, so that print's a little bit small on there. But we benchmark things to the Treasury yield. And so the Treasury notes, basically, if we wanted to go out and buy U.S. Treasuries, a one-year Treasury would yield right now 2.56%. A five-year would yield 2.89%. A 10-year, 3%. And this changes from day to day, but that's roughly they don't have drastic changes in the Treasury yields. Our current investments are up now to 2.28%, so they're still lagging the one-year Treasury. But the investments that we've made in the last 18 months our average maturity is 1.94 years, but we're exceeding the 10-year Treasury. That's the blue bar, the second from the bottom there on that graph. So that's 3.15 years. Okay, or 3.15%. All right. So cash investments. So that's our money market accounts, basically. Liquid money that we can access at any time. You know, your bank accounts probably aren't paying anything. Some banks are now paying a little bit. They might pay you 0.2 or 0.25%. If you go to a money market account, there's a little more restrictions. You're not writing checks daily out of those. They'll allow you a little bit more. I've been pretty aggressive at negotiating the rates there. Some of the banks need deposits, and I make them all compete with one another. And so if they need the deposits, they don't want to lose the deposits. They get aggressive with the rates. So when we took over, we were earning 0.4%. Now, obviously, interest rates have gone up, so that's been beneficial to us. But also, some of the aggressive, I wouldn't say overly aggressive, but just being aggressive and making the banks pay what they ought to be paying in market rates. And we've kept almost all of those cash investments local as well, in local banks. Okay, next slide. And by the way, that makes up about $18 to $20 million of our portfolio that's earning that 1.64%. But that's money we can access at any time. So if we have to... right, and I work with the auditor's office quite a bit to see where we're at on cash flow and when the big ticket items are going to come forward, and we've been good at communicating there. And so, you know, when Rob has to write a big check for the jail project, there's always going to be money there available. We won't have to sell off any CDs and pay any penalties. We'll always have money liquid. Okay, so this slide here, some of you have these on your – some of these are a little bit different maybe than what you have on the sheet there. But so yield type, so agency bonds, those are Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, those kind of federal home loan agency bonds. So the ones that we've purchased are earning 2.88%. Overall, the holdings that we have for the federal agencies are 1.47. The investments that we still have that when I took over are earning 1.16. The muni bonds, that's where we've really had a lot of increase in the yield. We've been very strategic at looking for good buys and making numerous brokers compete and find the best deal, and they'll drop their their price a little bit because they want to sell us the bond. And so it's really been nice to make the brokers kind of compete. And I feel like we really are. They're going to make a little bit of money. They're not a nonprofit, but we feel like we're doing a good job of getting the most bang for the buck there. So our muni bonds, we're averaging 3.27% on those. And our CDs, it's amazing when you make banks compete and they look forward to what interest rates can do. Even the local banks have gotten really, really competitive, and they've actually outbid some of the brokered CDs that are out on the market that you can buy on, you know, the stock exchange, basically. So not the stock exchange, but, you know, you can buy through one of the big wirehouse banks. So we've done a lot better with our CD rates. We're at 2.71%. Some of that, like I said, or 2.73. Like I said, some of that is a big part of those rates increases are due to the federal interest rates increasing. And then some of it is just, you know, competitive bidding and making them compete. Okay, so what's the bottom line of all this? Because that's what everybody really cares about. If you go to the next one. Yep. So we are projecting, you'll see it kind of a year by year in that graph, where we're going to earn, right now we're projected for this year to earn, by the end of 2018, $2.57 million. That's up from $1.245 last year in the year-to-date, you know, the current year. And so we've drastically increased earnings. Now, we're making purchases now, and in November and October, that will drive that number closer to $2.7 million. We had projected in January that we would do $2.3 million. I said, you know, if we really do well and things go like, if everything falls in line, we might approach $3 million. The problem was in the summer, with the whole summer months, and basically up until a few weeks ago, the market really kind of flattened out, and so we weren't able to go out. When we had a lot of money mature in the summer, we weren't able to go out and buy the kind of purchases we wanted, and I had to stay very disciplined and kind of wait for deals to come along. So we weren't able to invest the money quite as fast as I'd hoped, but now things have really picked up in the last couple weeks, and the deals are flying. You know, there's a lot of good prices on bonds out on the market, so we're able to earn a lot more. So based on our current makeup of the portfolio and what we're earning, in the next 12 months we're going to earn $3.5 million. So that's triple where we were a couple years ago. And if we go to the next slide, go ahead and skip over this one. Okay, we have another $57 million that matures next year that's earning 1.23%. And so we'll be able to go out and buy things for 3 to 4, and sometimes I'm even finding some occasionally at 4.5 to 5% yields. And so that will add another $1 million to the portfolio, probably on the low side. So I would say 2019, we were saying $3.5 million. I'd say for 2020, we're looking at $4.5 to $5 million in interest. And so, as all of you know that have funds that are tied up in this portfolio, that's more money for you. That lightens the burden on property taxes. That allows you a little more flexibility in your budgets. So things are looking good. It's a slow process. Sometimes it's a frustrating process, but we're making a lot of headway. So, and I'll entertain any questions if you have any.
Mr. Fasson.
Yeah, my compliments to the treasurer and the job he's done. Quite an improvement over the prior administration. I mean, the numbers don't lie. It's there for your viewing, and the level of cooperation that we have with the treasurer is good too. So, I want to compliment him on the job he's done.
Thanks.
Mr. Pollard.
Yep. Well, we're able to find them at better rates, obviously. They're paying a little better. Not always, but sometimes they're paying better than federal agency bonds. And when I put things out to bid, when I put in my email, my bid request, I will say I'll accept agency bonds, I'll accept municipal bonds. We're looking for the best yield that also fits in the criteria we're looking for. They obviously have to be investment-grade bonds because by the Public Funds Investment Act, we're limited on what we can purchase. And the risk factor has to be, you know, they have to be pretty safe bonds. So if they're below investment grade, that's considered junk bonds, and we're not allowed to buy those. So sometimes I'll even say I want them 3 grades above investment grade. So I want them really, really strong, really solid credit ratings. So a lot of times the awards that are coming back are agency bonds. Now, they're in the summer for a while when the Treasury curve kind of flattened out a little bit. The local banks were winning with CD rates. over some of the municipal bonds, because, and also a lot of municipal bonds just got sucked up nationwide and there weren't really anything worth buying. There's always Illinois general obligation bonds, but I try to limit our exposure there, and I try not to go out too far because, you know, I think with the Illinois general obligation bonds, they're one step, if they get downgraded again, they're in junk status. We can still hold them. We just can't buy anymore at that point. And they would have to get downgraded seven more times before they would default. Now, the likelihood of that happening over a 2 or 3 year period is very slim. But over a 5 or 6 year period, I'm not that comfortable going that far with Illinois bonds. Until they straighten things out in the state. So, thank you.
Mr. Chapman.
When this is over, I move we return to our normal agenda.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to say, we just came from, several of us just came from the Transportation Committee, and Mr. Gavillo commented, actually coincidentally, that he has about $17 million in the portfolio, and that $17 million with a 2% additional return on that is about $350,000 a year. So it's real money, and that's a piece of equipment we can buy. That's a road improvement we can make. Doesn't cost taxpayers another dime, and it's just by making good solid investments in, and it really is important, and it's something that I think the general public may not fully appreciate. And I was looking at our general fund with about $25 million in the general fund. That's another $500,000 a year that is returned to that portfolio, an additional $500,000. And just on an additional 2% return, so it really is important. And
right.
Go ahead.
One of the things we are going to do, some of these graphs and some of this more colorful reporting, that's kind of how we're going to start reporting on the website too. That's something we've been working on for a while. We're just trying to make it work right, make it look right, and make it relevant and easy enough for people to understand. And so typically we've just, for many, many, many years, it's just been a long list of all of our investments, and it's kind of mundane, and you don't really know what you're looking at unless you're involved in it every day. So I think that'll be a new benefit, too, is when you go to our website. And I like to probably try to provide these kind of reports. One of my staff members is a spreadsheet geek and just did a phenomenal job with these spreadsheets and makes the reporting a lot easier on our end. And I do want to compliment my staff, too, because there's a few of us that are involved in this, and I've made so many purchases. Because I'm willing to go out and buy a small bond, even if it's like $50,000 or $60,000, as opposed to like maybe $2 or $3 million purchases, if it's a good deal. But that creates a little more stress on our accounting department and our staff, and for the auditor's office too. And so I appreciate. But overall, it's getting us a lot more bang for our buck. So.
Well, it's important. We're all really working, Democrats and Republicans alike. We want to ease the burden of property taxes on the taxpayers of Madison County, and this is one way that is very, you know, it's all gain and no pain. So we appreciate it, Mr. Treasurer. Thank you very much. I'm sorry, Mr. Moore.
Yeah, I had a comment and two questions, if I could. The comment is, I too would like to thank Mr. Slessor and all the people in his office to increase the wealth of the county over the past your duration in office. So thank you very much. But I would like to add, based on Mr. Fassett made me think of something, that I think you'd probably be the first to admit that the economy is also receives credit, too, for being able to increase the rates and,
yep,
and has and increase the amount of money we have in our coffers.
Yep, absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
The two questions I had, you mentioned originally that the you've increased our municipal bond holdings. Mm-hmm. But where did that money come from? Was that cash? Or?
Well, when investments mature, then that just goes into cash, and then I make purchases with that. So most of it that came from CDs and federal agency bonds that matured, and then I went out and bought municipal bonds.
Is there any kind of guideline or policy that says how much cash you can have on hand, not to exceed a certain amount or to
maintain
a certain amount?
Not really, because I'm pretty active in the County Treasurer's Association, and a lot of the other county treasurers, they don't really have an investment background. They're more banking or accounting, and so I've advised some of them on their portfolios, and when I look at a lot of their portfolios, it's all cash or just all CDs with maturities of less than 1 year. So, you know, we're able to, the Public Funds Investment Act, they restrict us on what we can buy, but as far as, I mean, we could put the whole portfolio in money market accounts. That wouldn't be responsible because we don't need that kind of liquidity, but we would be able to do that if we wished.
My last question, you mentioned about the $57 million coming due next year. You have plans and where the money's going to go?
Yeah, that's going to fit right into our strategy. Like I talked back in January, we have a laddering strategy where we can go out 5 or 6 years and put equal amounts in each year. That way we still have money maturing. We're not trying to do a lot of market timing, and every year that rolls off. And then I would say within a couple years, our entire portfolio, even our one-year money, that in cash right now, you might be earning 1.5% to 1.75%. We're going to be earning 3% to 4% on it because we bought it a few years ago, and it just comes down the ladder. So, yeah, we'll be in a really good position here in a couple years. So.
Thank you. Nice work.
Thank you.
While we're still on new business, there's a couple of things that I attended the Southwestern Illinois Leadership Council meeting last Friday, and first time that I have been there. And the colonel from Scott Air Force Base, something I just wanted to bring up to the committee and just make everybody aware of. She had an idea that some vendors are intimidated by trying to do business with the federal government, and they have a vendor day, and so they reach out to vendors from, you know, all facets of, you know, people that are doing they may want to do business with Scott Air Force Base, and they invite them in to help. You know, cut the red tape and help people do business and become and get more competitive bidding. And I know that's something we've all worked on in various committees, is to try to get more folks involved in the bidding process so we have more competitive bidding on our projects. And I think that's something we should do. And we brought up in the facilities meeting yesterday, Mr. Pollard and I and Mr. Schmidt had a discussion on that. And I think we'd like to I think it's a good idea that we should carry forward and have a vendor day, and Mr. Schmidt would probably be the point of contact for that. So if folks have ideas or people they would like to make sure they get they're reached out to, please contact Mr. Schmidt, because I think we're going to go forward with that idea. Are there any questions or comments on that? Or okay, and then. The other project we're going to start working on that we discussed yesterday in the Buildings and Maintenance Committee meeting is at Wood River Township Hospital. We have a number of different agencies that are housed there, and some have revenue streams that should allow them to pay rent. If they weren't at Wood River Township Hospital, they're not a core mission of the county, and I would just say for 911, for example, or the we store a lot of legal documents, and on the fourth floor of the hospital, it's full of various legal documents, and if they weren't stored there, they would otherwise have to be. We'd have to pay a storage facility to store those, and the legal document storage fund has, I believe, about almost $4 million in it. And I think that's a way we could tap that fund. It's a restricted fund, but it's a legitimate way that they could pay, you know, they could pay rent to help us offset the cost of that building. That building is, and Mr. Schmidt, you want to comment on some of the parameters we're going to be looking at?
Sure. The total square footage of the building is 220,000 square feet. We have 186,446 usable square feet. And out of that, we have approximately 80,000 square feet occupied and 107 square feet not occupied. The things that we're going to be looking at is utility costs, what it actually costs for the Wood River facility month to month, and what it cost in the facilities management department with the two full-time employees, and how much time they actually spend on maintenance of the building and servicing other departments. And then we're going to take a look at what it costs per month on routine repairs or emergency repairs. That building has three different additions, and all three additions are built in a different manner, making the maintenance of that facility extremely difficult to manage. And so we're going to look at getting the true cost of what it takes to maintain Wood River, and then apply that cost, hopefully, to some of the people using the building.
Mr. Chapman.
Yes. Well, you know, I think to have some of the people that use the building help defray the cost is excellent. But as someone who's been in some other discussions, I'm hoping that we're only doing this as a stopgap measure to keep that building going until we can divest ourselves of it.
Well, that's another discussion, but yeah, I mean,
because it appears to me, and not to belabor the point, it's an albatross that's been laid around our neck from a previous administration almost 18 years ago, and it causes us nothing but problems trying to keep it up. And the sooner we can get rid of it and then effectively utilize the rest of our building space, the better off we will be.
Well, it is an incredibly expensive building to maintain, and I think people will be surprised when we get the numbers from Mr. Schmidt to see, you know, the utility costs. I mean, the utility costs in my own home are, you know, $400 a month or $500 a month. And so you look at a building that's how many square feet, Rob? 220,000 square feet. So, like I said, we just wanted, for now, I mean, I think it's something we should get our arms around, find out what the cost of that building really is. We just approved in the facilities meeting, was it yesterday, Robert, was it $75,000 for a new boiler, right, something like that. And the month before, it was asbestos abatement. And so it's an incredibly expensive business building to maintain. And like I said, if there are legitimate revenue streams we can tap, I think we should reach out and do those. And again, the contact person would be Mr. Schmidt, and I'm sure he'll be reaching out to some of you all. And with that, is there anything else under new business? Mr. Moore.
Well, I have two things. One on new business, I believe. Are we going to talk about the next special finance meeting? Has that been decided yet?
Yes. What we're going to do is, we had touched on it briefly, is since Mrs. Champoli's not here, I think what we'd like to do is find a time that and reach out by email to maybe give people alternative dates to have another a special finance committee, maybe a choice of two or three dates.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. And the work for I think it would be nice to have the chairman here to make sure it works for her. Okay. Is that okay with you guys, or is there a better way of doing it? Okay, so we'll,
I did have one question.
Sure.
I apologize. I overlooked this earlier. I got sidetracked on something, but it was on the vouchers that were going around. There was an item on there for the printing of an honorable discharge for $27.50. I'm just curious what the details are on that, why the county would pay for that.
Okay.
I didn't see Linda up there. I don't know if anyone else knows about that.
Do we know?
One more time, Don. I didn't quite hear what you said.
Hey, there was on the vouchers that went around this morning, there was an item on there, it said printing of an honorable discharge, and the charge was $27.50. I was just wondering what the details were on that.
We can look into that. It could be the VAC, which they control their own money and their own spending. Certainly we'll look into that. I don't have that information in front of me right now, unless you do, Susan. Okay. I get you an answer, Don.
Okay, thanks.
Is there anything else under new business? Then I think we should return to. Do we need a motion to return to normal order?
Well, you know, we're done with this. Let's. I move we return back to the original agenda.
So we have a motion to return to normal or to the original agenda.
Second,
Mr. Michael. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. So we. I believe we were on
monthly.
monthly budget reports.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So have we had a chance to review the monthly budget reports? Are there any questions or comments?
Just one comment.
Mr. Moore.
For our special meeting that we have, whenever that is, are we going to have data through October? Do we know? The close of October?
We won't have October, but we'll.
It won't be through October because November board gets posted back to October. So depending on when you meet, you could have, I mean, we could have it the most current through that available date, but it wouldn't include.
I'm going to ask Jennifer for an updated revenue projection and the best data she can give us, and I'm sure she will, and we'll have that data at that meeting.
I know how difficult that would be to do that, you know, in the middle of a month versus at the end of a month, but at least then through September have the execution data through September at a minimum?
Yeah, September will be done Okay. Once board's posted next week, so that's not a problem.
Yeah.
And you can have October pay roll through whatever pay period has been posted.
And will we have projected revenues as well?
I mean, if it's next week.
We'll get an update from Jennifer. It certainly, she needs to get through board to get September totally posted. We're going to see what works best for the board, if we need to meet next week or the week after board. But we'll meet with Lisa, and we'll discuss that and see what she wants to do.
I think it'd be a good idea to involve Jennifer in that, because if we could work out a date that she can provide the data through October, and then we could have the meeting after that, that would work out. But if it's too close, I understand.
We just need to keep in mind we have to pass the budget by the end of the month.
I mean, you would never have October
right.
incomplete, because the cutoff for invoices that are turned into our office is always the first of the month, and that's what gets approved and the checks that get cut on board date. So just due to the timing of that.
Yeah. So I think September data is going to be the best as far as expenses go.
So we should probably have a meeting following the next county board meeting, that the week following the next county board meeting. Is that
would make sense to me.
Week
sure.
after that, right?
That would make sense to me. And we'll have an update for the budget and all that. But I have a call in with Lisa. She's going to call me back. We'll discuss that, and I'm sure we'll get an email out to just get some dates,
okay.
figure out when we're going to have a meeting.
I guess since there's only seven of us, probably a phone call, too, would be nice from
okay.
Kim as
yes.
well, to make sure that everybody is on. You know, that's probably the email and a phone call, since there's only seven people involved with the committee. Are there any other questions or comments, or is there any other? We have on the agenda an executive session.
Did we do safety and risk management?
We did. There were no reports from safety and risk management.
And I have a question.
Go ahead.
I could have missed something.
Sure.
At a previous meeting, we were discussing administrative salaries. Is that going to be fair game in the executive session, or is it something that I should bring up during old business?
I would say bring it up under old business or at the next finance committee meeting. It's your pleasure.
Well, I would like to raise the issue under old business, and partly as a courtesy to my fellow board members and to the administration.
Okay.
I've personally gone on record saying that I would not vote for a raise in the administrative salaries, as I did not vote for a raise for some of the elected officials' salaries. And I continue to be of that mindset. And, you know, I have some concern, as that I have heard, that the administration desires to continue either getting a 2.5 or 2.25 raise for some of the administrative personnel. And I think that it's unnecessary. If we need to discuss it at a future time, that's fine. But in terms of that future discussion, I would like an explanation from the administration. I'm not saying they're doing anything wrong, about the benefits line in administrative personnel. There's some concern if it is padded or not, and if that money would be moved into a raise for administrative salaries. It would be helpful for me to see in the discussion also, Mr. Chairman, what employees are paid what, or what is the concept of what the administrative types will be paid in 2019, what are they paid line item wise, and how does this compare to last year? How it's going to be paid for. I also have some concerns about next year's budget. I'm not saying anybody's doing anything wrong, but I'm wondering if a statutory requirement's being overlooked, in that it appears that there'd be a $120,000 cut in overtime for the sheriff's office. I think everybody does have to do their part to make the budget meet. However, I'm concerned that that might actually be a cut in our ability to pay for our special case or major case squad, which I think is actually a statutory requirement, because they have to respond to cases within a certain period of time. And once they're on those cases, they can't very well say, well, You know, it's 6 o'clock now. I'm sorry you were raped or your family member is murdered, but I got to go home now because, you know, there's no overtime. We don't, you know, it appears to me that that sort of budgeting is realistic because it's going to happen whether you have it in your budget or not, and we should have a pretty good idea of what that is going to be. I also would like to discuss in the future, it appears that there is an extra spot in IT that was not filled last year. Apparently it was a 911 position that has been turned into a junior system administrator position. It was not filled previously. I'm wondering, I would like an explanation as to why exactly that position is necessary. I'm not saying it's not. And I would also like explanation as we move forward about, in all fairness, I think some of my colleagues have talked to me privately about the voting machinery personnel that we maintain. Either we need those people or we don't. I'm not saying that we don't. But I think we need to have a frank discussion about the personnel that are involved in elections. I'm not saying we should cut them, but we need to come to some consensus. We need to clarify things collectively, I think, to move forward. And again, I want to thank the administration for the work that it's done so far in preparing a budget, but in terms of looking at it, those are the concerns that I have, Mr. Chairman.
We'll make sure we address those at the meeting, Phil, and we'll be prepared for that.
Appreciate that. Does the record show that Ms. Champoli has joined the committee. Is there any regarding, I'm sorry, Mr. Fasten?
Yeah. I'd like to make a comment and compliment Mr. Chapman on being thorough and going over that budget and looking at things. I just want to comment and say that there's elected officials here who do an excellent job. You've got the treasurer, the sheriff, the regional superintendent of schools, and I'm not criticizing it, but we voted not to give them a raise. So I agree with Mr. Chapman that I think administrative positions need to be looked at, and we probably need to follow suit with that. But I think at least it deserves an observance and see where we're at.
I think we should all definitely lead by example, and the county board members voted for no pay increase for themselves or for the countywide elected officials. I think we should lead by example. That being said, there are to make a blanket statement that no one, that's another issue, and perhaps we decide there's a pot of money or that's going to go to selected individuals, but I think that's appropriate for the discussion. And like I said, I think most importantly, we have to lead by example and be able to defend our choices to the taxpayers. Is there any further discussion? We have an executive session on the agenda. I think, and it is an $18,000 expenditure, and it has to do with the security issue. That I think most of us are familiar with. We can go into, if we want to discuss the expenditure, we have to go into executive session, but I think everybody knows about it. And is there any, would anybody like to go into executive session to further discuss the issue? Everybody feels comfortable with the expenditure. Okay, good. And obviously, thank you. That's good. Then we can, with that, I think we can have – is there any other business before the committee? Yes, Mr. Fasten. Mrs. Harris.
Thank you. I just wanted to make a comment. I've noticed this month and last month that the purchase order seems to be getting thicker, and I think that it is due to the fall into the trap at the end of the year to say, oh, we still have money left over, let's buy 100 Sharpies, or, you know, and I don't want to be nitpicky, but it does seem like across the board this is happening. Please continue to be included in what we are.
It's a good observation, and I appreciate that. I think you're right. We spend what you need, but don't spend it just because you've got so-called excess money or whatever, just because there's leftover money in the budget. Is there any other business before the committee? If not, I would entertain a motion to adjourn. Motion by Mr. Pollard, second by Mr. Michael. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Oh, good job.
Hey, we got it done.